Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You heard Eamon mention that incident about the young child with additional needs hit by a scrambler bike in Dublin's north inner city. Well, Social Democrat TD for the area, Daniel Ennis, is with me here on the programme. Daniel, how, after months of talk about dealing with scramblers, are we still scrambling to crack down on them?
Andrea, what you're seeing across Dublin, in particular north inner city, Carbrough, Finglas, areas like that, you're seeing Grace's Law that has been enacted, the legislation, and that has been a step forward. But without enforcement on the ground, we're not going to see any change, and we haven't seen any change. You know, things have very little has changed. Look, at the legalities and the legislation don't matter to these lads. These lads are running amok, you know, terrorising parts of the community, and without on-the-ground enforcement, the legislation doesn't really matter, Andrea.
Well, we have a total ban on the use of scramblers and the likes of quad bikes and such in public places. I mean, the law is there.
It is, but it's not being enforced. You know, the guards, look, we need a dedicated policing unit to address this scrambler scourge. And the guards are telling me this, you know, they need more tools, they need more resources, and a dedicated policing unit is what will address this scrambler scourge, because, like, the lads are taunting guards. Like, I know community guards are doing amazing stuff. Mm. I'm speaking to superintendents around the north in our city and have a great relationship, a work relationship with them. But they, like, the lads are taunting them. They're going around in circles in the squad cars. They're flying by community guards on the beat, because I witnessed this myself only recently. And look, the lads are running amok. And the sheer sense of lawlessness around the north in our city, it's scary, it's intimidating, you know, and it's terrifying. And we've seen it with poor Jaden and what happened there. Not only was Jaden knocked down in the hit and run, like, the group of scrambler bikes came back and circled, intimidating the family when they were tending to poor Jaden on the ground.
This is the story about the young lad at the Five Lamps, isn't it, in Amiens Street?
It was. So look, that's my local shop, Andrea. You know, like, I can't let my 9-year-old son, because of the issues like this, walk around to the shop. And poor Jaden, like, has additional needs, and he was walking over to the shop with a family member to buy bread, his local shop, and he was knocked down and seriously injured. You know, we can't even trust, like, the safety within our area to let our young people walk to the local shop because of the scrambler scourge and the other case of antisocial behaviour, criminal activity.
Just to say, our thoughts, obviously, you know, with Jaden and his family, I know it's obviously a very difficult, you know, time, and I'm sure they're very concerned about what happened. But I mean, like, in not just in that case, like, what you're highlighting and the incidents that you've heard of and that you've witnessed yourself, Daniel, this is even more than just a breach of road policing law. Like, I mean, this is actually, it's public order and intimidation you're talking about as well.
It goes beyond that, Andrea. This is now, the lads on the bikes are not just engaging in antisocial behaviour. It's criminal activity. Like, we're hearing of drug gangs buying these scramblers for the lads on the bikes. This is organised crime now. This is not a transport issue, or it's not a road safety issue. This is organised crime. It's a justice piece. You know, and we need to start addressing it as such, because if we don't, we're going to continue to see this play now.
But should, you know, this, yeah, but this is even more than having the likes of the roads policing unit in and around Dublin's north inner city over, you know, maybe a planned pilot operation for a couple of weeks. Like, there shouldn't be scramblers and quad bikes on any of the streets in Dublin. There shouldn't be there.
No, we need an emergency response to it, Andrea. This is what it is. And I know we did have the emergency response unit. We do have, you know, but this has to be somewhere bled between the emergency response unit and a road policing unit. This can't be just a checkpoint and normal run of the mill. And no. Sure, we passed the legislation. We need an emergency response to this, because how many more people are going to be seriously injured, like poor Jaden? How many more people are going to lose their life, like poor Grace out in Finglas, you know, before we see action? Like, Andrea, this is not happening in the more affluent areas. You know, that has to be addressed. You know, it's been let play out in the more disadvantaged areas of our city. And, you know, how many more people have to get seriously injured and killed before we see real action on this on the ground?
Yeah, but also, I mean, like, to be fair, those in ownership of these vehicles are the people that have to be held responsible. They should not be out on the main public thoroughfares. And that's the end of it.
Well, no, but the best part of them, if not all of them, that's engaging in these activities, own them illegally and are up to no good. Basically, what they're doing, they're being used to transport drugs and money. in and around our area. You know, that's widely known. It's widely accepted by the guards. So we need to start addressing it as that issue. It is organised crime. You know, it's not antisocial behaviour, and we need to start calling it for what it is. It's serious levels of criminal activity.
We've only had, you mentioned Grace's Law that's come into effect in the last number of months, obviously in memory of young Grace as well in Dublin. For her family and for her close friends and, you know, and even immediate family as well. I'm thinking of them today, Daniel. Like, when they, you know, listen to you and others talk about these incidents still persisting in the North Inner City, it doesn't matter what part of the country they're in. Like this is obviously, I'm sure, terribly upsetting for them.
Or it has to be. Like, and my love and strength is always to the parents of poor Grace, you know, because like the advocacy work that they're still engaging in, like, I don't know where they're getting their strength from, honestly. Like, but it's up to us to support those families. And like, even Grace's parents will tell you that it needs to be enforced on the ground. Like, they fought for Grace's Law and they've done amazing work there. But we now have to back that. Like, the Justice Minister has to back that. Our government have to back that, you know.
What response have you had from the superintendents, the assistant commissioners in charge of Dublin's North Inner City, and from the Justice Minister when you've raised this in the Dáil?
Well, look, I raised this. I'm raising this a very long time, Andrea. Look, I raised it in September 25 on the council. I asked for an emergency response to this. We received no response from the Justice Minister at that time. Engaging with superintendents, again, they're trying their very best on the ground with what they have.
Well, they'll highlight this. Resources. It's a resource issue, I'm sure they'll say.
Well, that's what it is. But they are seizing them. They'll come back to the numbers of seizing them hand over fist. You know, seizures are up, I think, close to 1,000 have been seized.
In recent.
Operation Maycon. Yeah, but like, Andrea, the thing about it is these lads are making serious amounts of money and they're being bought these bikes by these drug gangs. So it's, you can seize them all you want. There's 10 more being bought.
Another one out on the road tomorrow.
Yeah, do you know? So unless it's enforced on the ground with a dedicated policing unit, with the tools, with the powers that the guards need to address this on the ground, we need to support our community guards that are doing amazing work, but their hands are tied behind their back.
If you've witnessed, if you've noticed, if you've seen scrambler bikes out on public roads in any part of the country, we want to hear from you today. It's 1800 453 106, that's the number. If the Justice Minister is tuned in this afternoon, Daniel, what do you say to him?
Support the guards, give them the tools and the powers to improve and address this scourge that is right across communities, and a scourge in communities and plaguing communities right across Dublin City. Give them that dedicated policing unit.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. We're going to stay talking about this here in Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Carl is with me on the programme. Carl is Jaden Deans, who Daniel just mentioned there, that was injured in that hit and run incident in Dublin. Carl, you're Jaden's aunt, is that right? Can you hear me, Carl? You can.
I can, yeah, of course.
Carl, how are you? Listen, thank you for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. How is Jaden, first of all?
How is Jaden? I think everything hit Jaden this morning when he got out of bed for his first physio after his second surgery. He's just gone through an array of emotions, from anger to pain. He's in a chronic amount of pain at the moment. They've had to put those halos around the leg and the rods because the force hand they tried to reset the leg, it didn't work. Jaden's a tall boy. He's a big boy for his age. So he's going to need extra support. His mammy is on her own. Well, she has us. She has her family, but she lives on her own with Jaden. It's so hard for them. It's just a really difficult situation.
Can you tell us about the day when this happened, Carl?
Yeah, it was a Saturday evening. He was having a sleepover with his cousin and they went to the shop to get some sweets and bread for their mum. And they crossed the roads at the North Strand there with the five lamps there. So that's traffic lights, and for they cross right at the traffic lights. Yeah. And when you get onto the island, there's a slip road. You come left, you turn left from Portland Row onto that slip road. And as they cross that, his cousin was dilly-dallying behind on his phone and he was ahead of him. And his cousin just heard Jaden say, "Oh, wow." And he was hit. And that's how quick it happened. It was seconds. So So the person coming around the corner didn't slow down or anything like that. And when he hit Jaden, he came off the bike. He went over the handlebars and landed on the ground and verbally abused Jaden with multiple expletives, got back on his bike and drove off.
So straight after Jaden was hit, the person riding or driving the scrambler bike was verbally abusive then to Jaden on the street when this had happened?
Yeah.
And Jaden, presumably, I take it from the beginning how you've described this, Carl, he was obviously on the road at this point as well, was he? When he'd just been
hit.
On
the road. Yeah, he'd just been hit. So it's a little road. It's one of the new roads that the council have made it look like a pathway to give pedestrians
the right
of way. I
know what you're talking about,
Yeah. So he was still on the road. He couldn't get up. The only time he could get up was when the ambulance arrived. So bad was his break. His leg was going in the opposite direction.
And his poor cousin witnessed all of this.
Yeah, so he rang his mother. And his mother came over, and as you can imagine, everything went through her mind. She didn't know what she was going. All she was told was he'd got a smack of a motorbike. And when you hear that, you think of poor Grace. That's what you think of. And she arrived. When she was tending to him while waiting on the ambulance, these bikes came back and they were going up and down. And I don't know what their intention was, but she felt intimidated. She said it felt very intimidating.
So with the ambulance, sorry, Carl, to cut across, you just want to be clear, but with the ambulance, sorry, did you say were they there at that stage or
they were still doing it while the ambulance were there as well, yeah.
So scrambler bikes came back after the incident and started to circle per Jaden, who's still on the road as a result of being hit and the injuries, and scramblers started to circle around. And did they say anything?
They were just riding past, up and down past. They didn't say anything, I don't think. I know one little boy approached my brother and asked, "Are you his dad?" And that was all. They didn't tell me if anything else was said, and I don't think it was, because they would have said.
Have been very terrifying for Jaden.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. And for Jaden, I think he was in shock, God love him.
Of course he was, yeah.
He didn't say much at the time, and he hasn't said much until this morning. So it's, what are we now? It's 11 days since the incident. So he's in shock. He's in anger. He's angry that he can't go to his clubs. He takes part in the RYS club up in Rutland Street. And we've worked so hard. He's autism and dyspraxia. We worked so hard to get him to go to all these clubs and to be independent. He goes to school on his own. And he's highly intelligent. He's, you know, there's not other real complex needs compared to some parents. But you want to make them independent. And you wonder how this is going to knock him back, you know?
He's 14, is that right, Carl?
Yeah.
14 years of age, yeah. And as you say,
he's a good kid.
Yeah, there's mom.
He's not out with gangs. He's out with his little pal whose parents look after his little pal all the time and make sure that Sandra and his mother are in contact with each other to make sure that if he's in her house or in Sandra's house, you know, so they're keeping an eye.
Because
rearing children in the North Inner City is actually really tough. I mean, I'm in the process of rearing my last teenager, thank God. The others are grown up now. But, you know, it's really, really hard going. And I heard you talking about community guards earlier. When my oldest boy, who was in his 30s, was a kid, there was great community guards around the North Strand area. And then the recession came in 2007, 2008, and all the funding was taken from that. And the people in the North Inner City just feel like we're left behind. I know that for a fact. It's just shocking. I mean, the guards, their hands are tied. They can't do anything. My other sister, Emma, and I were speaking the other day about this and about the guards doing nothing. But as she said to me, but how can they do anything? There was a guard there a while ago and he lost his license for chasing, in the line of duty, chasing, I don't know, it was a robbed car or someone on a bike or what it was.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and people feel this.
Judges are penalising the law for protecting the people. Why would they take part in it? I mean, the guards, they barely get paid enough. I wouldn't like any of my children to be a guard, and only because of what they have to put up with for so little amount of money. There's no reward in it. You're literally in that job for the love of it, and that's it.
Jaden's obviously he's still in hospital. I take it, Carol, from everything
you've
said.
He's still in hospital. Yeah. His surgery was successful yesterday. The surgeon seems happy with him. The physiotherapist had him out of the bed this morning, and he got very upset with the pain level that he's in. Yeah. So they had to abandon the fourth session of physio and give him stronger pain relief and then try again. So he stood on the leg for the first time today. But when he gets out of hospital, he's going to have to go to Kappa straight away from Temple Street, where they will teach Sandra how to clean his wounds, how to manage the apparatus that is on his leg. And Sandra doesn't drive. Like, Finglas is a long bus journey in agony for the child. I drive, another family member. So we'll rally around and we'll try our best. But there may come a situation when something happens or someone is sick that this leaves her in an awful predicament. Mm. It's going to cost her a whole lot of money. Oh, and I know Sandra isn't well herself and has been out of work. So, like, going up to the hospital all the time, eating out, all of this
Everything
that goes with it, the expenses. She contacted an occupational therapist who told her that she couldn't help her with a wheelchair for him. But see, he's too big. She can't carry him. He can't manage the crutches because of the dyspraxia. He's been using a Zimmer frame to get to the toilet, but a 14-year-old is not going to go out in the street on a Zimmer frame.
No, of course he's not.
Do you know? So we need support from OTs and all of that sort of stuff to get him back out. I mean, his mental health will be destroyed if he doesn't have the equipment to help him get back out in society and back out around his friends or people.
Sandra's obviously Jaden's mum. Is Sandra your sister, Carol, is she?
She's my baby sister.
She's your baby sister.
Yeah.
You sound like you're very close.
We all are. We are very close, yeah.
Yeah, she's lucky to have you, and you know, and obviously you've great supportive family, which she'll need, and it's great to hear, you know, that you're all there and able to support her and rally around at this time. But you're right, like it's very difficult, and even getting access to all those different supports that she'll need, you know, to help Jaden with his recovery.
And that's all only the physical. I mean, the psychological trauma that goes with this.
Yeah.
Sandra can't even speak about this without breaking down in tears. She's absolutely devastated.
She's broken, yeah. And God, even getting that call from Jaden's cousin, she'll be reliving that as well for months to come, you know, and this was the concern, the fear and everything that goes with that. Yeah. But look, I know that the guards are obviously, you know, aware of the incident and they'll be looking into it and, you know, and investigating it. And I'm sure for anybody that is, you know, information or maybe was in the area or witnessed anything, please do get in touch with the guards. But Carol, look, but please pass on our you know, best wishes to Jaden and to Sandra and to, you know, all the family. And we do really appreciate you getting in touch. There's a lot of texts coming in today, you know, just people wishing Jaden well with his recovery. And if there's anything they can do that they'd love to be able to help out. We might maybe, you know, if we get any further information about occupational therapists or, you know, those kind of supports, we'll be sure to put those people in touch with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we really appreciate that.
Look after yourself, Carol, and our best again to, you know, to as I said, to Jaden and to his mum, Sandra. That's Carol there, Jaden's aunt with us on the programme, getting in touch, and the Social Democrat TD, Daniel Ennis, with us a few moments ago. A lot of people getting in touch here today. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com talking about the problem with scrambler bikes, despite the fact that we've introduced this legislation, all in memory of Grace Lynch in Dublin a number of months ago. We're going to stay with this. We'll take a short break. Back in a few moments. Talking to Carol, the aunt of Jaden Deans, there a few moments ago. The young boy, young teenager, 14 years of age, injured when he was hit by a scrambler bike at the Five Lamps in Dublin just 11 days ago. And Carol telling us, detailing the, you know, the extent of the injuries that he's suffered. Listeners here still getting in touch from around the country. Texter was in Balmain and Donaghmede just last week, 3:30 in the afternoon. Two lads and scramblers going up and down the main street doing wheelies. One was on the back. It went on for about 10 minutes. It was very loud, the noise, very dangerous as well. Balmain is a highly populated area with young children on school holidays. This texter lives in Kilmainham, passes Thomas Street twice daily. I pass open drug dealing looting, homelessness, intimidation, scramblers, bikes, cars breaking, traffic lights. Never once have I noticed a guard in the area as well. Damien is with me on the line. 1800 453 106 is the number. Damien, I believe you live by Christchurch. Is that right, in Dublin?
Yes, Andrea, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Yes, I just come back a short time, but rather a dramatic observation. On two Christmas mornings, 2024, 2025, I was heading across Thomas Street, and a quad and several scramblers come up, some of them on the wrong side of the road, passing Meath Street on Christmas morning, as if it's an annual celebration for this bunch. And they did it two Christmas mornings in a row. And on the third Christmas morning, 2025, I wasn't out of my home, but I heard this cavalcade going through. So this seems to be an annual event. And God knows the guards are busy with their families on a Christmas morning. And they're taking advantage of that. So my view is the Gardaí cannot be everywhere. They certainly would use the law against these people if they could. But there are facial recognition cameras, and some way some of these people must be visible after they get off the bike and take off their balaclavas. They don't even bother with helmets. They're in black balaclavas. Also the e-bikes, which are on the footpath doing wheelies down at the Five Lamps. So the guards can't be all over the place to stop them, but maybe citizens themselves can do more. And legislation, as much reinforcement behind legislation as possible. But the utter contempt for the people that work so hard to bring in Grace's Law. And then what happened to that young girl at the Five Lamps is so appalling.
I know, when you listen to his poor aunt, you know.
We've all got to do more. It's people power that's going to solve it. We've got to make these people feel so much odium that they will, first of all, they should be taking the bikes off them. I don't know why these things are on the road at all. I thought they were
they
all banned.
Be. So this is the point, that they shouldn't
be. Again. Yeah,
you know, there is a total public ban on the scramblers and the quad bikes and these kind of similar off-road, you know, motorcycles in public spaces. Now, I do appreciate, and I just want to mention this listener's text as well, who says, will you please acknowledge that this is the illegal use of the so-called scrambler bike that you're talking about. There is the majority of riders of competition off-road motorcycles who are responsible and use them as prescribed. Accept that completely. That's absolutely not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the use of these bikes on public roads in public areas where, as per Grace's Law in Irish legislation, this implements that, you know, a total ban on them. They shouldn't be on public roads. But Damien, even still now, 2 years on, do you still see them in and around the Christchurch and inner city areas?
Not so much Christchurch, apart from those events on Christmas morning. Seems to be their annual celebration.
Yeah, parading them up and down.
I'm old enough to remember the Kilkenny Beer Festival, and it was great fun with scramblers across fields for the particular festival week, the Smithwick's celebration of Kilkenny Festival. And those were happy times and spontaneous times. But now these people have got to be, their bikes should be confiscated and official recognition should be used to track them. There must be people know who these people are, and they'll be doing a public service to all of us.
Lister tells me it's the very same in Drogheda, terrorising roads and housing estates. The guards have even told us themselves that they won't chase them, says this listener. Another texter says the laws are totally worthless without enforcement. If it's organised crime, then people should be treated as criminals. Listener 2 says, why are the bikes allowed to be sold if they're this dangerous? Surely cutting them off at source is what'll work best. Hugh is with us on the line. Hugh, do you see scramblers in your own area?
Oh yeah, you see them anywhere in Dublin, walking up to Croke Park the other day. There was a few of them, and they're everywhere. They're, you know, everywhere you go, particularly in more working class parts of Dublin. You know, there's scrambler bikes and youngflas flying all over the place. Yeah,
and this is using them, of course. You know, this is using them illegally on public roads. I take it from what you've described.
Well, being on a public road is illegal within the new law. There is no legal way to use them on a public road. I mean, your first guest there, he can. Yeah, what was his name? I can't remember his name.
Daniel Ennis was with us, a Social Democrat TD.
Yeah, he kept saying, oh, give the guards more resources and give them more. But unless, I mean, you could give all the guards all the resources in the world, unless you give the guards the latitude to aggressively pursue these guys. It won't make any difference. You could employ another 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 guards and give them everywhere. But unless you're actually going to start chasing them and maybe throwing out stingers or using Garda emergency response to shoot at them, like actually, you know, take them. I mean, so there's no other way. Well, why not? They're illegally driving up and down the road.
Yeah. It's an enforcement, basically, who's what you're talking. You just, you're total crackdown. You should be taking the bikes, taken off them, and that's it.
If the guards were given the license to aggressively police them, right, the result is going to be you're going to kill a number of these young fellas. Right? By throwing stingers across the road, they're going to come off the bikes. Most of them don't wear a helmet. And in a week or two, you're going to have a lot of young fellas dead in singlets, North Innes. Well, that's the only way to stop it. There is no other way.
What other way? Seize the bikes and bring them before the courts.
Oh, you can do that.
Dangerous driving, public order, intimidation.
Oh, no, hold on. But how do you get them for dangerous driving if you're not going to actually pursue them? Like, the guards have a softly approach. We won't pursue them because it's dangerous. They'll come off and hurt themselves and maybe hurt other people, right? So unless you actually pursue them, you won't get to a situation to seize the bikes. Mm-hmm. Now, you can seize the bikes. You'll find out through intelligence where the bikes are kept at nighttime, and you go in and seize the bike. But they're just going to buy more. They're just going to buy more bikes until you actually aggressively police the streets. And the result of that is there will be death and injury amongst the young fellas who are on the bikes. Okay. There is no other way. You can have all the resources in the world unless you aggressively police. And are we prepared to, as a society, to open our newspaper every couple of days and some other young fella from Finglas or Ballyfermot or North Inner City?
Sure, it could be anywhere in the country. No, I take your point in that regard. There definitely needs to be a more stringent approach, certainly, or even just enforce the laws. This texter says that's already there. Two scramblers passed by me when I was on the bus last night in Limerick near Castle Troy. They were both doing wheelies, says this texter. Another listener makes the point, just in relation to the conversation about the scramblers, the e-bikes and the e-scooters, the public maybe don't realise that when the guards seize these, they're often then returned to the owners once they pay for a nominal fee for the storage. Same bikes and scooters seized over and over again, says this texter. Perhaps any of our Garda listeners who are tuned into us today, 087 1400 106, might get in touch with us about that. Listener was in Clontarf in Dublin. They live there. They're there every evening. And we have scrambler bikes going up and down the Clontarf Road, even past the Garda station, whizzing up and down. It's almost like they're making a total mockery of the guards because they know that they're untouchable. Listener talking there, as I said, about Clontarf Garda station. Another texter too. The areas in the city where crime is most prevalent, and there needs to be a more prominent Garda presence with a zero tolerance ethos for this type of behaviour. They need to clean up the streets. Yeah, I should say, plenty of texters too agreeing with our caller Hugh there and his approach to how we deal with people illegally driving scrambler bikes on public roads. Keep your thoughts coming into us today. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. I think Rachel's on the line. Rachel, good afternoon.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Not bad at all, Rachel. You were listening there to Carol, who was talking about her nephew, Jaden.
I think it's kind of very easy solvable. Make sure that every scrambler and every single bike has to have a registered reg plate or something that identifies that it can be identifiable and get a trace back to its owner. And even if it's their son on it, hold the owner accountable. Because I'm not joking, you like that man was saying, like the scramblers on Christmas Day. The parents, not all of them, but a lot of them are buying these. A lot of them. And then they give out if anything happens to them, to the kids. Like, they're like, oh, my poor child, you wouldn't do this, you wouldn't do that. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, hold on a sec. If you are buying these for your kids and you're willing to put your child out on them and risk their lives on it and risk someone else's life, you should be held accountable. And if they're over 18, I think, and I genuinely think there needs to be a litany of charges held accountable to, like that, dangerous driving, reckless driving, endangerment to others. Do you know what I mean? Put a whole load of things in place. I genuinely believe when it comes to things like young clubs and gangs and whatever, like running them up these days, I genuinely believe you hold the parents accountable for anyone that's under 18. I genuinely think there's a big change then. Because just parents that won't give a damn, they'll just say, look, my son wouldn't do this, my son wouldn't do that. And then they'll make excuses for them and then they'll blame the other people. But when they're held to account, And when they're the ones, they'll actually get out, they'll actually get up and they'll get off their backsides. I was about to say something else there.
No, you're
they'll get
right,
off their backsides. They'll make notice of where their kids are. They'll make notice of what their kids are up to. Do you know what I mean? They make sure that nothing's going to come back on them. I genuinely think it's the only way. I think, like, listen, I was no perfect angel when I was growing up. But I can tell you, if something had, right, you had a thought, anything was coming back on my parents, oh my God, I genuinely think things would have been different. Do you know what I mean? But I think the level of disrespect, and personally, I've always said this, I genuinely think it starts from the home. And I know that might sound like, yeah, you have great parents that really do all for some kids. And I do see that. Do you know what I mean? That some kids just don't listen. But I will say, I genuinely think it starts when they're younger. Like, for example, you have kids that are, for example, say for, okay, out playing on the road, right? Mm-hmm. And they're having a kick around with a football or something. So say, for example, they're kicking that ball off someone else's car and they don't care and they're laughing and the parents are like, ah, look, they're only kids, what are they to do? Instead of what used to happen years ago was parents would be saying, no, you do not do that to someone else's property. Get over there and play. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
I know. So there should be that sort of... I know what you're talking about. The kind of, the stricter approach maybe from parents in some cases. Are you living in the Dublin area, Rachel? Are you in...
Yeah.
You're in Dublin. Yeah. And do you see scrambler bikes even out on public roads?
All the time. And I've seen guard cars drive past them. But because, and I understand it because I remember walking across a traffic light with my own daughter one years ago now, and a scrambler, when I say it missed us by probably 2 inches, it literally came out of nowhere, nearly, I would genuinely say we would have been, one of us would have died if it had hit us. And I was absolutely floored. And since then, it's like, but like, you see that every Christmas. If you remember years ago, every Christmas, the kids would get scramblers and there was a death every Christmas. For years. Because the parents are buying the scramblers.
They're right.
No one is holding... Like, kids are going to grow up and do this if they're left do this. And there's no consequences at home or elsewhere. And personally, look, I've seen parents... give their all and try their best.
I know. And it's very, you know, very hard in some cases.
Every parent, but there is a lot of parents. Like, I genuinely think the disrespect starts at home and it starts from a young age. And the kids learn not to have respect for other people, other people's properties, other people's space, anything like that. This is what they grow up and this is how they end up like this.
I can tell you, Rachel, another texter here, you know, Rachel's dead right. There should be a no-tolerance policy in Ireland, and that is the approach that we should take with regards to this, as this texter. Another listener makes the point that would they tell me that they know for a fact that a lot of these off-road bikes are in fact stolen from places around the country. Look, keep your thoughts, your experiences, with scrambler bikes, I mean the quad bikes, if they've been used on public roads where there is a ban, therefore they've been used illegally. If you've witnessed this and you want to share your story with us today, drop us an email. It's lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. I just want to mention just Carol that was with us there talking about her nephew, Jaden. We have an offer that has come in from a really just very, very grateful to one of our Lunchtime Live listeners who've got in touch to say that they do have the offer of an occupational wheelchair that they're very happy to give to Jaden and to Sandra and the family. We're going to put... we'll put them in touch actually here today with Carl off air this afternoon. But to that listener, thank you. They didn't want to come on air to say that, but they just rang in to make that point. So we want to thank you for doing that. As I said, the email is lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.